Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to the exclusive consultation portion of this episode. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. I'm Harmony Quiker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists in exploring deeper dimensions in their work with clients. You'll notice that in each episode, my guest therapist stays anonymous. This is to preserve the anonymity of the client they present in our case consultation available on Patreon. In this episode of the Awaken Therapist podcast, I talk with a sex therapist who specializes in supporting her clients in restoring trust in their body. We consult about a case where the client's protective mechanisms seem to interrupt the therapeutic process. We also explore topics related to sexuality, self-care, and healthy boundaries. I hope you enjoy this episode. Something that I think about a lot, especially for new clinicians, is learning how to tend to ourself, our own self-care, our own energy, our own being, as we are holding space for other people. And I'd love to know how that's been for you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been relating to this process as like renting out our nervous systems in many ways. And if we're not really consistently nurturing our capacity to hold, it's easy to get fried. So I'm interfacing with that a lot and actually kind of creating some changes to my business model of like how many clients I take on, what I'm doing, how many couples I'm working with. And it's been helpful, but we have to be like, yeah, really conscious and intentional of like filling our cup and asking ourselves what we need. And it requires a lot of attunement, you know?
Yeah, especially when we're so skilled at attuning to other people, to remember to attune to ourselves and to just check in and see what it is that we really need. I relate to what you said about your schedule. When I was a newer clinician, I just wanted to fill my schedule. And then like really learning my own capacity and letting myself have my capacity and not trying to push beyond was really an edge for me.
Yeah, totally. It's been hard because there's things that I value in my own personal life that I haven't really had the space to show up for. Like I'm noticing my social engagement system has been totally shot. You know, things that were once nourishing, like connecting with friends and all this stuff. I'm just kind of like, actually, if I really attune to myself, it's like laying on the floor in the dark and maybe a cup of tea and really minimal input. And it's like, okay, well, I don't want to like totally live like that, giving myself some permission for inner winter, but also like, okay, well, how do I make this work with me and for me, you know, not just like showing up, getting drained and like just being in recovery, but like, how do I prioritize rest? Not just, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have two children, so I can sometimes come out of sessions and just notice that everybody still wants me. And so the tendency to just kind of want to take a bath and disappear for a little bit because the overwhelm in my nervous system can really have me feel fried sometimes. I'm wondering if you've found anything that really does feel like good medicine to your soul and to your spirit.
I think it really depends on the day, but some foolproof ones are fresh air and sunlight and movement. And the type of movement, you know, depends on the day. Sometimes it's just breath because I just can't possibly go there, or stretching or hiking or Pilates or whatever, you know. But yeah, sometimes I'm just like, okay, food, touch, movement, keeping it really simple.
Yeah, light, fresh air, food, touch, movement. That all sounds so good. I also think, for me anyways, a lot of my self-care happens in session. The way that I hold space is really breathing through whatever my nervous system is experiencing so that I'm continually emptying myself out when I sit with clients, so that when I leave, I'm not full of them and full of their energy and their emotions.
Yeah, totally. I relate to that. Like, it's kind of a good opportunity for me to really focus on being in my back body and breathing into my, like, deep into my belly, you know, and just, like, you know, kind of entraining those pathways of, like, being rooted and grounded. And if I'm just going through my day, it's a little bit harder. But I think being an effective clinician, at the very least, it kind of forces us to be here and be kind of circulating our own energy so we're not dumping it, projecting it out, you know?
Absolutely. And I know that you're trained as a somatic sex and relationship therapist. Sex therapy and gestalt and transpersonal counseling and somatic counseling, to me, all feels so connected and aligned and not separable. I'm imagining that a lot of your work is about, you know, supporting your clients and restoring their contact to their body while you're simultaneously doing that along with them.
Yeah. You know, it's really about being able to feel yourself and then expressing from that felt sense of who you are. And it's really interesting in the realms of sexuality. It's, you know, so many of us therapists don't have training in this unless we seek it out. But I think it's the location of our most confining conditioning. It's not just sex, it's touch, it's expression. It's how we move through the world. And that's how I relate to sexuality, is how can I feel myself and move from that place in a world where so much of us are trying to negotiate authenticity and attachment and that split between, like, okay, is it safe for me to be myself and still get love? This is a space that we can come back to and have these conversations and choose adult relationships. We didn't have that opportunity as children to choose our parents, but choose adult relationships that celebrate and invite the truth of who we are. And we have to find that first, because just as we're embedded in these systems that are confining, all of these things are embedded within us, all of the messaging. It's been a fun journey into supporting clients into the subterranean, the felt sense of, like, oh, okay, where does this thread go? And who am I really? It is really deeply transpersonal. So I'm glad I have that. It's a fun complement to sex therapy, which I think can be so medicalized and not very embodied, actually, and how it's taught in a lot of spaces.
I love the way that you said that, like, how to feel into myself and move from that place. When I heard you say that, I was imagining that the experience of that for clients is very different from what they think they're arriving to. Like, there's so many preconceived notions about what therapy is and all of the talking. And this really sounds like a bottom-up approach of really feeling into oneself and discovering what is really there within.
Yeah, it's like that simplicity of, like, the sensory motor loop is, like, I can sense and then motor. And that even shows up in the way we talk. Or we can just motor, and we're really not connected to what's underneath. And we know our body's just going to keep communicating through sensation to try to get our conscious mind involved until we slow down and really listen to it.
And when a client turns towards themselves and discovers that, you know, the sensations aren't pleasurable, but to still connect to themselves and perhaps bring their fear with them, or, you know, bring their uncertainty or apprehension with them, I think is part of learning how to listen to the wisdom of our body and open up to deeper pleasure and potential.
That makes me just think of secure attachment, secure self-attachment. Okay, this part might not be the most comfortable to hold or feel, but can I still love it? Can I still embrace it anyways? And then there's, like, that alchemy that happens when it's like we're not just choosing what feels good or comfortable. It's like, okay, well, maybe we support our systems in feeling safe enough to go there, but, you know, really embracing the multidimensionality of who we are is going to involve those more shadowy, painful parts.
I love hearing you talk about this, and I find myself wondering how you found your way to this particular sort of niche in your work and this specialty?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, in many ways, it's kind of revealed itself to me or invited. It's invited me in personally and professionally. You know, I've navigated a lot of my own trauma around sex and sexuality. And so healing that from the bottom up, working with therapists, recognizing the beauty and brilliance of that work. In grad school, some of the research that I was doing as part of the research practicum was around healing through kink. A colleague and I did a qualitative study on that, and it was really, really profound and powerful. And there was just so many pieces coming together. The somatic piece, working with you around felt sense, embodiment. I'd asked my therapist at the time, actually I still work with her, to refer me to a supervisor. And she sent me to someone who was a sex therapist. And she was like, she's a badass witch, like work with this woman. I was like, say no more. And so this woman kind of took me under her wing. It's interesting because it's like the work isn't even about sex. It's just about embodied expression. That's just one little piece of it. But we really can't even begin to discuss sex without embodiment, without birth. Yeah, all of the incarnation pieces. But it was a lot of it was like following the felt sense of my own body that brought me to all these different little niches that I've been kind of threading together over time.
I love the way the universe can just sort of like guide you to where you were always headed anyways, and sort of just following those threads. You know, the way that I see it through the lens of Gestalt is that in relationship to our sexuality, anything that prevents us from opening up to our vital sexual eros is really unresolved, unfinished business. And in my mind's eye, when I look at the subtle energy of it, I see it as like this hardened energy that prevents the soft bliss body from really opening up into that oceanic bliss. And so to me, the two go just hand in hand so beautifully. So I'm just excited for you that you found your way here.
Bliss body. Oh, I've never heard it described like that, but I just like melted into my chair. Yeah, totally. It's really like embodied pleasure and contact with the vital force that gets kinked and interrupted. You know, anytime we're told, be quiet, sit still, don't do that. Like these are all, that's all thwarted sexuality of like, oh shit, I can't be who I am. And now I have to contort myself to be okay. Seeing, is that true? And what is true? Or what feels true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this piece around your study with kink and, you know, shadow work and really embodying the thing that we're scared of within ourselves is the key to liberation, in my estimation.
Totally. And for a lot of people can create that, like the empowerment of choice and like opposite experience if they've been disempowered in certain ways. How can I either explore conscious surrender, conscious disempowerment, but in a way where I know I can choose to come back? It's never really gone.
It seems like a part of the conversation that feels important is where our sense of safety is seated when it comes to our sense of sexuality. And when I think about all of the contact boundary disturbances, there's like this perception of lack of safety in the environment and a forgetting of oneself and where true safety is seated. I'm wondering how you've seen that in your work.
Oh, constantly. And I think we all get mirrored in our relationships if we're willing to actually look and see it as a mirror where we are leaky, you know, or too guarded, right? And so I see pretty much daily and constantly the, I need you to change for me to be okay, in some insidious way. That's usually how I'm seeing it play out in the partnerships that I'm helping to support. And so the practice of coming back into our bodies and fostering that secure self-attachment, and can I actually tolerate and still love my partner when they're not doing what I want? And can I see the distortion of, whoa, I've just totally given them agency over my okayness?
One really pivotal moment of my own growth was where I really realized that my annoyance is mine. That when I fully claim and welcome my annoyance, I transform and transmute that energy and open up to the potential pleasure that is within me.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What a, like a reclamation. Yeah. I don't know if this was something that I got from you or another mentor, but like the, hey, if you're feeling it, it's yours. Like it belongs to you and there's no other way. And my clients would be like, but they made me, no. Yes, they might have an impact on you, but like, it's just a mirror. And the more that you can own it, the more it can be like kind of delicious in an existential kink way of like, can you actually enjoy the sensation and potency of your like frustration, your annoyance? Can you allow that to belong to you and to clarify what feels valuable and maybe even advocate for something if you need to? Like there's such empowerment to that rather than being like, oh, you're annoying. And of course, we can always like choose to not engage with people that bring out things in us over and over again that we don't want, you know, but I think it's so cool.
Yeah. And when we really allow ourselves to wake up in those moments is where we're shifting states of consciousness, because when we're hyper-identified with that thought, we're actually asleep to the essence of who we are. And so we can believe the narratives, we can believe the stories and the meaning-making of annoyance in my example, or whatever the situation might be, but to notice the experience and to still shift into awake awareness at will, in my opinion, is the practice of transpersonal.
Yes. And I'm thinking of the times I've been annoyed and it's, what is annoyance trying to tell me? Where is this juicy wisdom of this? How is this actually bringing me into, I think in your language, like deeper contact with self? It's like, oh, okay, here I am. This is what's important to me. That's such the beauty of relationships, you know? It's not just getting our needs met. It's like that sacred mirroring too. We want to disown it. We want to locate our suffering outside of us. How nice. But you know, the real, I think, transformation is what happens when we actually fully claim ourselves and our feelings.
And, you know, just circling back to the original piece we were talking about with self-care, to me, this all seems interconnected, where us as therapists doing this work is part of our self-care. And it's part of what makes the potential of the container we hold more potent when we are fully awake and integrating these aspects of ourselves.
Totally. It's been really making me think about how my boundaries have been leaky. It's easy to be like, oh, like work is stressing me out and these clients and da 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 da. But it's like really like, where are my boundaries leaky? Where am I saying, like, if I track my energy, I can really notice where I said yes when I needed to be a no, where I really needed to scale back. And not like point outside of, you know, these people are too chaotic and I'm, you know, whatever. It's really like, okay, I might just be acknowledging that my capacity is a little bit less. And like, if I really feel into that, what do I need? And there I'm in the process of empowering myself to actually show up in a way where I can be in contact, not only with myself, but with them in a more true way, even if it's less. You know, I'm kind of grieving that of like, I just don't have the capacity to be that type of therapist that's even working with like 15 clients a week. I can't do it and actually sustain myself. And it's a challenging thing to come into contact with when the world is saying, do more, earn more, push more, have more coffee, you know? And I'm just like, I just want to sleep.
In the time that I've been a therapist, so much with technology has changed. And early on when I got, you know, my first smartphone, I got two, one for work and one for my personal life, because I just found that on a Sunday when I wanted to unplug, I did not want the texts coming to my phone.
I think that's wise. I have a like separate Google Voice account. I still get the messages, so it's not foolproof, but you know, it's something I talk about with my clients all the time is, you know, our nervous systems, like we're evolving in our human bodies so much slower than technology. And we're not really designed to be constantly inundated and aware of all of the atrocities happening in every corner of the world, what our ex-boyfriend is doing on Instagram, like all sorts of stuff that keep us stuck in these, like, you know, more aroused nervous system states. Like, we're really designed to interface with our immediate environment. So it's like, if we're stressed, that's normal, but not healthy. And so where can we have appropriate boundaries with technology? And so I'm kind of like, I've been on this social media hiatus for the most part and being like really blinders because my social engagement system is so shot. Too much input, too much screen time.
Yes, I so resonate with that. I'm also on a hiatus and the break just feels so good. Just feels so good to not be tracking what's happening in every corner of the world and especially in this country.
We get to trust our pleasure. Like, if it's feeling good, why not follow it, you know? And it's not about like being hedonistic about it, but like true embodied pleasure. If we can feel an exhale or that bliss body that you spoke to, it's like, that's where we can start to be in contact with our aliveness, you know?
Listening to real-life clinical examples is a wonderful way to increase awareness of how to approach your work from this powerful modality. To listen to the full episode where my guest and I consult about a challenging case, join us on Patreon. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. If you want to learn more about the art of transpersonal counseling, check out the Awakened Therapist Signature Course at thespirituallyaligned.com. This is a go-at-your-own-pace course with non-contact recorded webinars, demos, practices, and PDF handouts where you can learn more about spirituality, consciousness, and subtle energy through the lens of Gestalt therapy. To learn more, check out our trainings at thespirituallyaligned.com and receive your course today sent directly to your inbox.